Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch-offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
We're in the right place the vast majority of time when you compare it to the league. I mean, there's a lot of tough things. There's a lot of good passing games in this league, and they give you a lot of tough stuff. I think we're the fourth-ranked team in that sense in the league right now, coverage-wise. Yet, completion-wise, they're completing, and I think we might be around 19 or 20 in terms of contested completions against us. So that's where it's happening. I'm going to choose to look at it like those plays are going to get made, you know, and that's the upside for us, man. That's low-hanging fruit where you can make a huge difference in your play. I mean, we'll work hard at it, and we'll continue to work even harder at it, you know, because it's something that we want our guys to have confidence in. You know, we got guys with good hands.
Well, the Ravens have been looking for another wide receiver, another veteran wide receiver that they feel like they could play on the outside to help them play a little more 11 personnel, a little more in terms of three wide receiver sets.
To sit here and say, like, hey, this will help us run the football better, you're the number one rush team in the NFL. Your play-action game is absolutely off the charts. My concern throughout this whole process has been, if they add a wide receiver, is it for depth or is it to change the identity or philosophy of their offense?
Dan Orlovsky, former friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't spoken to Disco Dan in a while, ESPN. And he was, you're analyzing, you're breaking things down. That's part of the job there when you're in the NFL field. Trades are made and what the reason is and how it impacts your team one way or another. And we heard Dan Graziano as well explaining the trade itself. The wide receiver, when we discussed the weaknesses of the Ravens, probably wasn't it. Never hurts to have good players.
Nope.
As many as you possibly can. But to Orlovsky's point, what does it mean for changing your offense? Look, we're not talking about Jerry Rice or Raymond Berry here. We're talking about Deontay Johnson. Good player.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be the number one receiver in Baltimore. No. Probably take snaps away from Nelson Aguilar, if I'm guessing.
Probably.
But Ravens don't play a lot of three wides. Play a lot of multiple tight end sets. So this trade helps, hinders? Does it change the philosophy of the team? As Dan was trying to allude to, your play action is kind of your bread and butter. I don't know, the acquisition of Deontay Johnson maybe tells the rest of the AFC or the NFL that, hey, we're going on full-on offensive philosophy change.
No, I don't. You know, is it a good move? Here's the thing. Is he better than people on their roster? Yes. So it upgrades the receiver group. No problem. And Bob, they gave a fifth, got a sixth. Carolina's going to be picking one. So basically it's 19 slots is what they're, and Carolina's eating some of the money, so they're paying nothing, you know, so it's a no-brainer move. I don't know why other teams wanted to do it too, but now I know when Pittsburgh got rid of him, I know talking to the Pittsburgh people, they got rid of him because he was a pain in the ass, you know, and he did drop a lot of balls.
Yes.
So that was the issue in Pittsburgh. Now, he's had some success with poor quarterback play and a poor team in Carolina. So maybe he comes here, hopefully, you know, fits into that locker room well. You almost have to. And, you know, want a chance to go win a Super Bowl. And like you said, Bob, he's fast. You know, so he'll give you some more explosives, some more speed on the field. I don't think he replaces Bateman, and I don't think he replaces Zay Flowers. Like you said, Aguilar, sure. I don't have a problem with that. And then it gives you the ability to spread people out more, which they may have to do. Like against Cleveland, you know, who wants to bunch everybody up inside, you may have to spread them out to be able to run the football a little easier.
And reading the analysis of the trade, it might have been Jameis or Jeff. I apologize. I can't remember, you know, the advanced years. But he's one of the better receivers getting outside the numbers, where the Ravens still struggle to succeed in that part of their – even though they're having a very good year throwing the football, mm-hmm. outside the numbers still is not one of the strengths of their passing offense.
Yeah, and to me, that's more about Lamar than – you know, I mean, that's been kind of Lamar's thing ever since he's been in the league, is throwing outside. You know, and look at the ones – well, he did miss one to Zay. You know, on the outside would have been a touchdown. Otherwise, he hadn't missed too many. So, yeah, does it give him it doesn't hurt him. Let me just say that. Unless he's a pain in the ass. But if he's a pain in the ass, you get rid of him. Doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, less than $1 million in salary, I believe, is what he's getting from Baltimore.
The vet minimum right now. So, it's a good move.
I'm going to say, first thing I saw when first thing I reacted to when I saw the trade was made, all right, does he rush the quarterback?
Can he defend right.
Opposing pass catchers? So I'm going to assume, could be wrong, that this is – trade deadline's Monday.
Tuesday, isn't it?
Tuesday, the 4th, at 4, that this will not be the last move Eric DeCosta's making.
No. And yeah, because here's the thing. All right, that one, you know, Eric's working a lot of stuff. And some teams, maybe, Bob, that he may have a deal with is, listen, if we lose Sunday, we're in. But if not, we're not. So, I mean, there may be a lot of those types of things, you know, that are happening with the defensive guys that they're after. And Carolina was ready to jump now. So, Eric jumped, you know. So, it's all a timing thing. You know, does Eric want, would he have liked to get those deals done this week? Absolutely. Now, if he does nothing next week, then it'd be like, oh, come on, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass. They lose at home to Denver's 9.5-point favorites. Now you're 5-4.
They're not losing to Denver.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. Yeah. But if they do.
Right.
You're 5-4, two losses at home to two AFC West teams. That's not a good look, big picture-wise.
No, and the two, and that's not a tough division dish other than Kansas City.
Right, and Denver has won 5 of 6, so we'll give them credit there. Bo Nix threw three touchdown passes. But there are a reason Ravens are significant favorites in this game. I don't want to start popping off too much, Dolan, but I could see blowout city. Especially after the embarrassment that it was Sunday. They don't have back-to-back games of that ilk, I don't think, normally.
Bob,
at least offensively.
They've beaten the last 2 weeks. Two of the teams in my Feeble Five. New Orleans and Carolina. Two. And New Orleans' offense is horrible right now because they don't have a quarterback and stuff. You know, so they're horrible. And Carolina's horrible. They have nothing, you know. So those are two bad football teams. They beat the Jets in the rain up in New York, who's 2-6.
Yeah, they stink.
Right. So they're going to get a taste this week. They got a rookie quarterback. Hart's been great with rookie quarterbacks. Let's just hope that Zach Hoyer is too, you know.
But on the flip side of that, I didn't hear your Dirty Dozen, or Feeble Five, rather, yesterday. Where was Cleveland? Were they probably
I took them out.
But they've been in it all year long.
They were number one.
Yeah. And what about the Raiders?
Raiders? The Raiders and Jets were like 6-7.
Right. point is, the Ravens have two losses to teams that are on the fringe,
yeah,
if not in your feeble five. So it works both ways. But I would expect a motivated and fired up Ravens team against the Denver Broncos this week. Marcus Williams, and we'll get into it a little bit more as the show progresses. And did Harbs really elaborate on his situation?
Nope.
Basically said none of your business from what I gathered.
It's a family issue.
Yeah.
Keep things inside the family, which I don't have a problem with.
Sure.
You know, all it basically is telling us is it's more than talent and it's not injury. It's some type of issue that somebody got mad at somebody or, you know, who knows what, but there was words said is my guess.
Well, reading the news of last week now after the fact, he knew he was benched or wasn't starting
Wednesday.
Yeah. So maybe that kind of escalated to the point where he just rode the pines.
Well, remember when we played the Cordell interview? That was Thursday.
Yeah.
That was, he'd already known.
I just do what I'm told.
Yes. So he wasn't really happy at that time.
Your thoughts on the Ravens trade? Deontay Johnson, another wide receiver added to the mix. Denver coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. Ravens big favorites in that game. 2-5-3 teams, however. So got to take that into consideration. World Series game 4 last night. Anthony Volpe hits a grand slam. Helps lead the way as the Yankees stay alive. 11-4 thumping of the Dodgers. Game 5 coming up tonight. Jack Flaherty, Gerrit Cole, rematch of the Game 1 starters. Dodgers still in a very strong position to get things done here. Only one time in baseball history has a team come back from 0-3. That was the Red Sox against the Yankees. And no team has ever done it in the World Series. But the big news out of last night was that a-hole trying to rip Mookie Betts' glove off and take the ball. Could have hurt him in the process, so let's not forget that. And with all due respect to Yankee fans, and I know your family's from New York, Vinny, and that's all very touching, but if you're born into it, got it. But if you're one of these bandwagon front-running a-holes, this is the reason most of the country hates the Yankees. People watch to see you lose. That's what it is. That's Exhibit A. And there's a-holes in every fan base. Hey, go to a Ravens game or an Oriole game before the opening pitch when people are drinking for 4 hours. The alcohol turns everyone into Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But the Yankees, it's just they're cheering for him. Hell, when Jeffrey Mary interfered with the Derek Jeter, Tony Tarasco, he was sitting behind the dugout. That he should have been thrown out of the stadium with his parents. Instead, he's sitting next to Rudolph Giuliani for game 2. That's the arrogance that they project. And I get it, their status in baseball, but they haven't won a World Series in 15 years. So it's not like they do it. It's not like they're the Chiefs of current day. Just the Dodgers are about to win their 2nd and 5.
Yep.
That's Exhibit A. Slow your roll. You're a fan. You're not part of the game. Stay out of the action. And it's the second fan interference. You had the dope in L.A. did it. Yeah. I think Gleyber Torres hit both balls, as a matter of fact. So let's go Dodgers. Come on, Jack Flaherty. Do what you got to do and put these fools to sleep once and for all. Maryland's off this Saturday. College football. They're at Oregon the following week. Oregon's got Ann Arbor and Michigan coming up. We'll talk to Damon Evans, bottom of the hour. Maryland basketball starts Monday as they take on Manhattan. And a sad day in Maryland basketball family. Gerard Mustaf passed away couple of days ago. A McDonald's All-American out of Dematha. Played for Gary Williams, recruited by Bob Wade. Played in the NBA first-round draft pick. We'll talk to Walt Williams about that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At tomorrow. What did John Harbaugh say? We were in position to make plays, mm-hmm. and statistically we're in the best position, but, you know, contested catches. It's like when Kevin Willard said, hey, you look at our stats, nerd stats, we're like in the top 10 in open looks in the country shooting the basketball. Unfortunately, they were like fifth in the country worst in actually making said shots.
Well, they probably dropped 6 or 7 interceptions. And then the other one is Brandon Stevens is always on his guy, except he can't, you know, they always catch it.
But he wasn't that.
He was bad this week. Yeah.
Let's get out to the phones. Go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, what's happened?
Hey, Bob. First of all, welcome back, man. Miss you, man. I love when Vinny be like, Bob. I'll be missing you with that. And I miss you. I want to say this, too, though, Bob, man. I want to do your voice impersonation. Even though there wasn't a sweep like I wanted, we can still play the Undertaker.
Yeah, let's do it. Drop that hammer on his whatever's tonight.
Yeah, they're just, you know, just trying to deny the inevitable, man. It's coming, man. Grim Reaper's coming for them. But let me just say this, man. The NFL, I got to love because, you know, they're giving us a nice, you know, trick-or-treat gift. You know, it used to be trick-or-treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Now it's trick-or-treat. NFL says tune in and watch the Jets get beat.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey. Let me just say, Q, if you're out there listening, I just love putting the salt on the wound. Just put the salt in there, the whole bottle, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Brian, thanks. Yeah, it's got to be brutal for Q. I mean, his Jets stink. Yankees probably going to lose the World Series. So we'll see what happens with all of that good stuff. But, yeah, you get inundated with the Jets. And remember, what's that, November 17th, that Ravens-Steelers game. I guess we're getting close to flexage. Because the Jets host the Colts on Sunday Night Football that night. I'm going to go ahead and guarantee you that that game's not going to take place on Sunday Night Football.
Imagine. Sounds like a Pittsburgh Ravens.
Or Kansas City Buffalo, I guess, would be the other option, and the Ravens would move to 4:30. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's go to Houston and bring in Jay. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jay.
Let me say this, man. That's Deontay Johnson trade, for me, it doesn't move the needle.
No.
But it doesn't nothing for me. But I want to move on to what I think they should do. I don't care what Mark Davis says. I'm putting the full court press on for Max Crosby. And if you say, well, what do we have to give up? As much as I like Oue, that's probably the only thing they'll take back. Because are we going to pay him $15 to $20 million next year?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm guessing it'd be 2 ones.
No, 2 1 foot Crosby, I can't do it. I can't do 2 1. I can do.
That's
Crosby.
What I'd ask for if I'm them.
But Vinny, so it is teams that will do it. But I'm saying you've been a GM. If I'm the Ravens, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm offering Oue and maybe something. Maybe not even the first, but I'm offering Oue and something. That way they get an end back, a young end that's athletic. Maybe they can get him 10 sacks, but. That's what I'm offering. I'm putting the full court press on for Max Crosby.
All right. Well, your full court press. If I'm the GM of the Raiders, I'm not even taking your call if that's all you're offering.
Your full court press just gave up a slam dunk because they broke it easily.
I'm saying, hey, Vinny. But look, okay. So, Oue in a one, would you do it?
Oue in a one? No, because I've already paid Crosby, and I don't want to pay Oue.
But would Las Vegas do that? Like, you see the intrigue, but the Ravens have been intrigued with him for 4 years now.
Yeah. He's tapped out at 5 sacks, and you're talking about a guy that gets 15.
Yeah. Who would probably flourish in a change of scenery right to a contender.
With that type of – I mean, that's a legit guy that when you're the – offensive coordinator, you got to – where's Crosby? You got to know where he's at Crosby. You got to know where he's at all the time. Now, with the Ravens, you're not saying we're doubling you know, away every time. No. We can block away.
We have time for another call.
What a tackle that's never played left tackle before.
Right. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Vinny, I was hoping to ask you, how much of the defensive issues do you put on Harbaugh?
Defensive issues? I mean, he's not catching the ball. You know, I mean, they should have had three interceptions in that game, and it's you know, it's not even a contest then if they intercept all three balls. So, I mean, what can Harbs do? You know, I mean, he's doing what he can do. You know, the only thing that Harbs, you know what Harbs can do? Change people. That's what he's, you know, they put in Jackson, and he was just, you know, I mean, at least he was in the vicinity, but he didn't make the play.
He graded out poorly based on his performance on Sunday, but John Harbaugh did hire Zach Orr to be the defensive coordinator.
That's Harbs' issue. That's the biggest thing, because it was too big a gamble with too good a team, in my opinion. I mean, that's what you do, like, when you're, you know, just going in as a head coach or whatever. But, I mean, a team that just was in the AFC Championship game and you're getting a rookie coordinator when you had guys on the staff that have been coordinators and are doing a good job coordinating right now.
And I was reading Denard Wilson, when he leaves your team's pass defense gets worse.
Yes.
When he moves on, it's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Denard Wilson, former Terp. Matter of fact, speaking of the Terps, Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland. Talk about the start of basketball season. Maryland men hosting the Jaspers of Manhattan on Monday. Terps are off in football this week, licking their wounds after yet another demoralizing loss in the conference, this time at Minnesota. With the athletic director, Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday. He is Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. What is up?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Doing all right. You know, it's basketball season about to tip off. There's your appropriate term. It's not tip-off football. It's tip-off basketball. It's kickoff. Anyway, I'm getting all fired up about something stupid, Damon, but we're tipping off Monday against Manhattan. Kevin Willard's third season. Retooled roster. Disappointing season, let's say, in 2024. Manhattan coming off a rough year as they're trying to get things together in the MAC. But talk about the excitement level going on at the Xfinity Center, maybe some new amenities going on in regards to the team as well.
Absolutely. You know, we are excited for the basketball season, both men's and women's. Basketball is significant here at the University of Maryland. So anytime we have an opportunity to go out and compete and try to compete for championships, really gives us a lot of pride here. But there's a lot going on at the institution. I want to first start off with the Maryland club that we will be introducing at the first men's basketball game versus Manhattan. This is a comprehensive partnership with a global premium experience company called Legends. I think many people may have heard of Legends before. This club will be an all-inclusive premium club on basketball game days, with an elevated bar, dining, and social experience. But then, outside of that, beginning probably around February, it will be an affinity club where people can join, and it'll be a full-service restaurant moving forward. And then the new video board that we put up that is 92 feet all the way around and 20 feet tall. So we wanted to make sure that we provide our fans with a good experience. But most importantly is to put a program on the court, or programs on the court, that bring a lot of pride to the institution, that win at a high level. I'm excited for both our men's and women's basketball teams kicking off on November 4th against Manhattan for the men, and I think the women will be at UMBC on the 4th. But tonight we have our women in an exhibition game at 6 o'clock. So a lot of excitement around retooled rosters here.
Brandon Freeze's crew ranked number 18 in the preseason by the AP. Maryland on the outside looking in, the men. But look, I've been saying this for 25 years. I've been doing this from Baltimore, full disclosure. Maryland is not, do we get into the dance? What seed? Like, are we 11 bubble? It should be, what top four seeds Maryland going to be? And what party are we planning for the NCAA tournament, the first round game? Julian Reese, Derek Queen, Baltimore kids. I mean, you got Malachi Palmer, a highly regarded freshman. Rodney Rice coming in as a transfer. Other pieces. Jacoby Gillespie is a stud at point guard. So the talent pool looks to be, at least Damon on paper, a little bit stronger than it was last year at this time.
Yes, it does. But what's most important is that how these pieces gel together, how they work together, how we build continuity amongst our players and figure out what lineups work best for us moving forward. But you said something that is so important. At the University of Maryland, making the tournament has to be a foregone conclusion. What happened last year is not who we are. You're right. We need to be looking at, okay, we're going to make this tournament, but it's more about what are we going to do once we get to the dance and how far are we going to advance and are we going to position ourselves to compete for a championship. And I think that we retooled the roster to give ourselves an opportunity to do just that. But there are a lot of schools around the country in the Big Ten and outside the Big Ten that have new rosters. So the most difficult thing when people always ask me, well, how do you think Indiana is going to be? How do you think Purdue is going to be? Well, you really don't know who they are because they have all new players as well. So we've got to focus on what we have, what we can do, and make the necessary adjustments.
Hey, Damon, when you were sitting there Saturday night, probably on the bus getting ready to go to the airport, what did you see?
You know what? It's interesting. It's a bad feeling, guys. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Where we are right now at 4-4, I did not expect to be in this position this year. I think we should be at a much better record. I understand the disappointment and the frustration of our fan base, and rightfully so. We need to give a better performance. A lot of thoughts were going through my mind. First and foremost, my pride was hurt. I have a great deal of pride for this institution and this football program. And that showing on the field, as I've said before, did not live up to the standard. To fall back, to fall behind so early in the game, to come out and not look like we were ready to play is really perplexing. We've got to figure out a way to get our team ready to play. We've got to figure out a way to make in-game adjustments, not just at halftime, but while the game is going on. We need to hit the reset button, guys. We've got to reset and figure this thing out. I'm going to continue to support. I'm going to continue to move ahead and believe that we can do some positive things, but make no mistake about it. I have to help our football team figure this out and put us in a position to have success and do what our fans and alums and everyone expects of us.
Damon, what are your expectations for the rest of the season? Because and you got the bye this week, then you got a really, really tough game going up to Oregon.
You're being nice, saying it's going to be tough. It's going to be a heck of a challenge. But I relish those opportunities to play the number one team in the country. You don't get many opportunities to do that. And a lot of people will say, well, we're going to get blown out. We're going to do this. There's a reason that you play the game. And we've seen things happen in this sport, and that's what makes college sports and sports in general so great. So my expectations for the rest of the season, first and foremost, we got to come out and look as if we're ready to play the game. That's the first step, is we got to come out hitting on all cylinders. We've got to limit the mistakes that that have plagued us throughout the year. And we've got to hang in there and give ourselves an opportunity to win against teams like Oregon, against teams like Iowa, against teams like Penn State. You can't make mistakes. You got to be solid. You have to have a good game plan. And I'm looking for us to have a solid scheme in place, good game plan, look like we know what we're doing, to play hard. And then you let the chips fall where they may. So there are a lot of things that I will be looking at, as everyone else will. But again, the one thing that I do believe, we beat USC, which everyone knows is a formidable opponent. We showed the ability to fight back and not quit. And I still believe that this team has that fight in them. And I think they're going to come out and look forward to the opportunity against Oregon. We got to focus on one game at a time and then move on from there.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, before we let you roll, and you'll tell us about what's happening College Park outside of football and basketball, but given the expectations now changing for Coach Locksley's team, to get to a bowl game would mean what for the program this year, given everything that has happened so far?
You know, getting to bowl games are significant. Don't take me wrong, and I want us to get to a bowl game every year. I think it's good for our program. I think it's good for our fans. It's good for our kids. But what we've got to do is we've got to have a level of consistency We've got to develop a level of consistency. And unfortunately, we've been inconsistent. And some might say that we've been consistently inconsistent. So I want to see us get to a bowl game. And in order to get there, you guys, with the teams that we have on the schedule remaining, we've got to be consistent in what we do. And that's the first step. So I want to see some consistency in how we move forward in the right manner of consistency, not on the side of being inconsistent. So that's going to be the first step. I think making a bowl game would be great, but I don't want the fans to think that I'm just content with making bowl games. I want to make bowl games, and I want to take the next step. And whether that next step is winning more regular season games, whether that next step is getting to higher level bowls, doing all those things position you to do even better things. So we've got to get over this hump. And what I'd like to see, we need to get some big wins. We need to create memories for our fans. We need to beat a Penn State. We need to beat an Iowa. We need to beat an Oregon. Those are the types of steps you make in a program that show maturation and that you're moving forward. And we just have not been able to do that, and we need to figure that out.
All right, Damon, what else is happening in College Park this weekend?
Well, we got field hockey is number 7 in the nation with an overall 11-5 record, coming off a 3-0 win against Richmond. Missy Mahar just continues to do some great things. We're going to be hosting the Big Ten field hockey tournament in College Park, starting on November 7th through 10th. So we're excited. Hope our fans will come out and cheer on our Terps there. Men's soccer is number 10. Unfortunately, we had a tough loss against Rutgers last night, 3-1. But we still have some great opportunities ahead of us. We play number 1 ranked Ohio State on Sunday here at Ludwig Field. So come on out for that. Wrestling's going to open its season here on Sunday against Kent State and Bucknell at the Pavilion at 2 p.m., so come out and get in there. And then, you know, we got cross-country competing in volleyball, and unfortunately women's soccer had a tough season and finished up, but some good things happening, and we're going to keep grinding here, you guys. We have to grind, we have to find a way, and we have to make sure that we make our fans proud.
All right, grinding away. Let's do some Woman Crush Wednesday jamming, though. What are we listening to, Damon?
We're going to listen to Better Days by Janet Jackson.
There you go. David Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, appreciate the time as always. Good luck to the Turtles and Hoops on Monday, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, fellas.
Yep. Damon Evans, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back to reset after this. And you heard John Harbaugh say he has the utmost confidence that he'll play good football for us, and we'll see how it unfolds. Did not commit to him even playing Sunday against Denver, though. So what does that mean? So you got a crystal ball.
Doghouse.
Yeah. You're going to do it in mid-January or whatever. I mean, when's this going to happen for Marcus Williams?
I don't know. Well, the thing that's kind of shocking is that Marcus Williams, when you watch him, he's so far back. And then at least, you know, Eddie Jackson was, you know, he had 10 tackles and dropped 2 picks. Got beat on the post route. But, I mean, at least he's engaged in the game. You know, where Marcus Williams, something ain't right. Something's not jiving, and I don't know. Is it Hewitt? You know, who knows what it is? Because like you said, with Denard Wilson, that secondary. I mean, you look at the secondary last year. Stevens had his best year ever. Talked about going to the Pro Bowl with him.
Getting an extension.
Yes. All right. And then Humphrey was out. Darby played damn good. He was nobody. Geno Stone was 7 interceptions. Kyle Hamilton was the best DB in the league. And then now, none of them are playing up to the level. The only guy is Humphrey. Otherwise, nobody else is playing to the level they played at last year.
But to repeat something, Vinny, we've talked about many times, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Nolan's other side of the glass. We'll talk about the Ravens defense film study-wise. Top of the hour. All indications were, I mean, you were at camp. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing the media tour. I saw Marcus Williams on NFL Network. Obviously, you're out there pimping something when it's all said and done. But he was on ESPN. He seemed engaged. He was kind of running things out of training camp. And it just kind of fall off the cliff the way that he has. Insane. He played every snap against Tampa, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, Bob, because he was playing minicamp OTAs and all that. He looked good. Looked good, healthy. And then I mean, ever since the season, he's been playing the same way the whole season. And that's why, you know, I wanted somebody to ask him. And Cordell went to ask him, you know, what do you, you know, is that what you're supposed to be doing? And he said, I just do what the coaches tell me to do. And but my question would be, why are the coaches telling Marcus Williams to line up 17 yards deep? And then with Eddie Jackson, he's lining up 10. You know, I mean, that's doesn't seem somebody is wrong.
And you pointed this out, too. Even when he does, or he's lining up deep center field, Marcus Williams, even when he's in a position to engage.
He doesn't.
Physically, he just kind of.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there was some type of discussion with him, and he probably went off or. I mean, that's what I'm getting. Just assuming, and when we assume, we make asses out of ourselves. But, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, his. It has everything to do with off the field stuff. It's in house stuff.
Now, and we talked about this a little bit off the air. Marcus Williams, would he prefer a change of scenery given the demotion here? Or are the Ravens going to wait to see what they can do at the trade deadline? Because let's be honest, and you talked about Eddie Jackson. He did not. I mean, he was there, and he accumulated some stats, but missed tackles, got burned on the game-winning touchdown, dropped a couple of picks, did not grade out well. I mean, he played, but.
Well, I guess my question would be.
Be like me playing center field for the Orioles right
now. If you're another team, okay, why do you want Marcus Williams? He costs a lot of money and he isn't playing well. So, I mean, you know, you could ask for a trade, but nobody's going to want you.
Third highest cap hit on the team, Marcus Williams behind Lamar and Marlon Humphrey right now.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting bang for your buck.
So, do you trade for a safety? Create a logjam and definitely hurt feelings? Or is it still kind of pass rusher now that wide receiver has been addressed, which is nice, but does it really solve your problems on the other side of the ball? I'd say no.
Well, I'll give Eric credit. Anytime, and even like back when Ozzie was doing it, anytime they knew they had an issue, Bob, they went and got something or somebody. You know, I mean, 2 years ago when they got Roquan, I mean, sure. We were talking, you know, they had
Marcus
problems.
Peters 5 years ago.
Yeah, same type thing. And the guys they brought in have helped. So I think Eric's going to make a move. And, you know, it's not like, well, I'm going to go get a safety or a lot. Takes two to tango. So it might be like, hey, there isn't a safety that, you know, is that we can get.
Right.
That'll help us. That's better than what we got. Or, you know, I'm all in on the pass rush. You know, you still got 11 draft picks.
Yeah. And I'm what our guy caller was saying earlier about Max Crosby in theory. Yeah. Let's make it happen. Yeah. But might be cost prohibitive. So maybe a reunion with Jadeveon Clowney might be more realistic.
Yeah, and I just watched the Denver game against Carolina, and Clowney had 7 tackles, and he gets doubled a lot. But I think that if they got Clowney back, I think the energy and enthusiasm, you get a little rejuvenated. Because he knows he's on the worst team in football. You know, it's hard to get excited about going to practice and doing the extra things and playing in the games when you know you're going to get killed.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 So the Fan. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. When we come back, Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense in their loss this past Sunday at Cleveland. Whip around 11:15. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. And then notes from the North. Scott Petrak talking Browns. You got Richard Skinner talking about the Bengals. Boy, they're in trouble. And Will Graves from the Associated Press talking about those first place Steelers kind of resting good as they're on a bye this week at 6-2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.